Welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game on this Friday. So much going on, guys, as we go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every Friday, NFL director at fansided.com, it's Matt Verderam. How you doing, Matt?
Great, guys. How are you?
All right. Well, Good. Look, we're a lot. I mean, you think we're talking about, everybody's talking about Myles Garrett, of course, got suspended indefinitely by the NFL. Were you surprised about the suspension? What did you think about what happened last night? I'm sure you got a few thoughts on that.
Yeah, I was working about 1 a.m. covering. But you know what? First things first, I'm not surprised at all at the suspension. I saw some people, he doesn't get 4 games. That happened on national television. He beat a guy with his own helmet. Okay, the NFL likes to talk about player safety, and they're about optics. Like any big business is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for that to happen in any game is bad. That happened on a nationally televised game. So there was no chance you were seeing Myles Garrett against this season. They had to come down either appropriately or heavy-handed. As far as the actual act itself, I've been watching football for 25 years, covering it for a decade. I can't remember ever seeing something like that. I know people said Albert Haynesworth, and that's appropriate. It's probably the closest thing. But like, he could have killed him. And I know people say, oh, it's hyperbole. I'm holding right now, on this interview, I'm holding an NFL helmet in my hand.
Right.
If I crack somebody over the head with that thing, I could absolutely kill him if I hit him the right way. And I am not as strong as Myles Garrett.
You know, Matt,
that's no joke.
There's a guy online that took a helmet and hit a wooden chair and split the wooden chair using a helmet.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people have never held an NFL helmet. Why would they? But these aren't like an NFL helmet weighs about 6 pounds, and I would equate it to if you go to the gym, if somebody took a kettlebell and smashed you over the head with it. That's about the equivalent. So this idea that he didn't really threaten. I mean, like, if he did that on the street, he'd go to prison.
Yeah.
So I mean, that is very serious what happened. I think the NFL was right to suspend him indefinitely, but at least make sure that it's through the rest of the season. And I just think it speaks to a bigger problem with the Browns. A lot of people in the league have felt like, look, this team is completely out of control. They're not really being coached. And this all goes back. They did not agree internally to hire Freddie Kitchens. I mean, there was a lot of back and forth, from my understanding, talking to people around that team, that was a compromise between John Dorsey and the ownership. It was not, neither one of them saw him as a first choice. So this is not going to end well for the Browns, and I'm guessing that if the season continues to go like this, it's not going to end well for Freddie Kitchens either.
Matt, does it bother you at all that the NFL went outside of precedent here and is giving more to Garrett suspension-wise than to guys with domestic violence incidents?
It's a really good question, and it's a hard answer because on one hand, yes, like domestic violence is terrible, right? I think everyone agrees on that, and domestic violence is something that as a society we should be trying to eradicate step by step, but forcefully as well. That should be a zero tolerance thing in my mind. That being said, I think the NFL was absolutely correct in the way it suspended Garrett for this game. I think the bigger argument would be, look, now that we have to move towards, if there's evidence, an overwhelming evidence, or even a conviction of domestic violence, shouldn't these players be facing the same types of penalties, where they're suspended, like Ray Rice was indefinitely, although Ray Rice was only suspended for 2 games until the video came out.
Right.
Really, that's where this whole thing, to me, comes full circle. Brady and I talked off air about this. Like, this comes down to, this happened on tape, and people could see it. And that shouldn't matter, but it does matter. Because the NFL is seeing people, millions of people seeing these videos, sharing these videos of Myles Garrett cracking Mason Rudolph over the head.
Mm.
Most of these domestic violence incidents, unfortunately, are not on tape. They're stories, but you can't see the pain. You can't hear the trauma. That stuff matters. And that's why the second that video came out about Ray Rice, and the second Kareem Hunt video came out, he was gone. He was cut the same night.
Right.
So I think it's the visuals that drive the NFL punishments. I'm not saying it's right, but I do think that's reality.
Matt, the NFL drags its heels on a number of punishments that we want an answer to right away. This one, and this one, all of a sudden, they're out within 12 hours have the answer. So something feels not right about that. Why are they dragging their heels on everything else, but this one comes out right away?
Okay, so let's look at it from two viewpoints. One is they are in the season right now. They cannot afford to have the optics of Myles Garrett at practice next Wednesday. Can't happen. Mm-hmm. And they know it. So they moved quickly to suspend him indefinitely. They didn't come down with an absolute ruling in terms of, okay, it's going to be, you know, 12 games. They said, you're suspended indefinitely throughout the rest of the year, because they knew, bare minimum, he was going to probably get 6 games. So they said, okay, let's buy ourselves some time, suspend him indefinitely, and then after the season's over, when it's quiet and it's in May, we can figure out the rest of the steps. So I think it buys them a little time. I'll go back to one thing that happened this offseason with Tyreek Hill, because that was a big talking point, right? There were allegations that, you know, that he had maybe broken his 3-year-old son's arm. Obviously, you know, he had had a history with domestic violence from his days in Oklahoma State with his fiance, then girlfriend, Crystal Espinal. And so, you know, there were a lot of people screaming, hey, he's got to get suspended. The Chiefs are going to release him. As time went on, you know, no formal charges got pressed. Long story short, you end up with no suspension. Well, the NFL took forever to act on it. Why? Because it was the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not going to be in front of reporters or in front of cameras. And they had months and months and months to figure it out. So a lot of this, I think, also is just the timing.
Matt Verderam, NFL Director, fansided.com, with us every single Friday at this time right here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game. Let's move to the game that we care about here in our region, Patriots-Eagles. What's your gut feeling on this game?
So it's an interesting game. Both teams are coming off bye weeks, which is not typical, right? It's a week where neither team has a decided advantage in that regard, because they're both well-rested. This is an interesting game for New England's offense, because Philadelphia is good up front, really good up front. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, on down the line. They're big, they're athletic. They're going to cause some problems, I would think, for the offensive line for the run game. So this is where Brady and that receiving core need to step to the forefront. The Eagles have a horrific secondary. They have been banged up all year long. Avante Maddox has been hurt. Ronald Darby's been hurt. Sidney Jones was completely ineffective after they took him a few years ago in the second round. So this is a team that, if you can throw the ball at all, you should have a very big day throwing the football, right? And so I want to see in this game, can New England throw the ball the way it needs to throw? But they've not been forced to do that very often. They've had big leads in this game. I think they're the better team. In fact, they are the better team. I think they will show that on Sunday. But I want to see, can Brady go into this game and throw for 320 yards and 3 touchdowns and showcase the way he's always been known to play? Because if he can't, if he struggles throwing the ball against Philadelphia, they can't move the ball consistently in the air, that's a major red flag.
Yeah. Well, what about Philadelphia's offense? I mean, they've got troubles at running back. They're looking at Jay Ajayi. Jordan Howard is, you know, has got injuries, but I expect him to play. What's going on with them? And can they move the ball against the Patriots' defense?
Yeah, so this is an interesting offense. You look at Carson Wentz's numbers and say, hey, he's having a pretty good year. He's been very inconsistent. I've watched a lot of Eagles tape this year. There are times where Wentz looks fantastic. There are times where Wentz looks like a borderline starting quarterback. He has games in quarters where he vacillates between those two things. Now, he is more than capable of having a very big game. He has certainly proven that he is that caliber of player, but he has just not been consistent. Now, part of that is, their receivers have not been good this year. Deshaun Jackson's out for the year. They relied on him big time this offseason to be the big play threat. They got him in a trade from Tampa. It worked out when he was healthy, but then he got hurt. He's never been able to come back. Nelson Aguilar is a guy they can't rely on. He doesn't have great hands. He doesn't have that big time speed. Okay, Jeffrey's that big bodied receiver, but he's been up and down. Their biggest weapon is Ertz. And so, you know, can the Eagles create mismatches with those Pats linebackers and even to some degree with the safeties? I think they can. So I think Belichick's going to look at this and say, okay, we need to bracket Ertz, take him out of the game, force them to beat us one-on-one. I think they're going to crowd the short intermediate routes, try to make Wentz beat them deep with these receivers that don't have great speed. So I think the Eagles will have some success, but I do think that it's advantage Patriots on the defensive side of the ball.
Matt, I guess I'll believe it when I see it, but apparently N'Keal Harry is going to be seen on the field at some point on Sunday afternoon. I mean, Herm Edwards came out and said that he thought Harry could be good in the slot for them. Do you think they could afford to use him like that?
I wouldn't. I'm not saying they could never use him like that, but I wouldn't use him consistently like that because you have Edelman. And I wouldn't change what's so great about Edelman. And obviously, they can move them around here and there. Let them go out wide some plays, and that's fine. You always want to give teams things that they have to think about on tape and give them different looks. But for me, when you look at N'Keal Harry, and obviously we haven't seen him yet in a real game for the Patriots, but when you watch his Arizona State games, I mean, he's somebody with a big body. He can go up and high point the ball. I think that's the value he brings them. If I'm Brady in this game, even if it's just somewhat for show, two or three times in this game, I'd like to see him try to hit him for 20-plus yards down the field on the sideline, either a back shoulder fade or throw it up there, let him go up and try to get it one-on-one. Because that's something the Pats haven't had in a long time. They've not had a guy who can win those types of battles really since Randy Moss. So I would like to see them give that a shot. You know, we've talked about the Pats obviously all year long. I still think that offense, it's got to be better. They are going to run into a game, and they saw it in Baltimore, where their defense isn't going to be able to win the game by itself. And that offense is going to have to be able to score some points. And I think the AFC is stronger than we all thought it was. Houston's pretty good. Baltimore's very good. Kansas City's an enigma, but I don't think anybody wants to see Mahomes in a playoff game. So, you know, they have to do better offensively.
Matt Verner and fansided.com with us every single Friday. Giants are on the bye week now. They say they'll make no changes to their coaching staff throughout the rest of the season. Should they bring Pat Shurmur back for 2020?
If this season continues to go the way it's gone, and obviously there's not much to say that it won't, I wouldn't. I don't think Shurmur's a bad coach. I do think that they have not gotten much out of a lot of the money they spent. Like, Nate Solder's been a disaster, okay? They have an offense that they had Beckham. They couldn't make that work last year. They traded him. You could say that's on Gettleman. Manning was terrible last year, and that's all true. I wouldn't bring back Dave Gettleman. I don't think he's done a good job. What has Dave Gettleman done? Other than draft Saquon Barkley, which, look, Barkley's terrific, but if you weren't going quarterback in that draft, I think everybody and their mother would have taken Barkley if you were going to go away from a QB. And you took Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has shown flashes. Daniel Jones is also fumbling the ball at an almost historic rate. So I think the Giants could use a change. I do not think they're going to do anything in season. The Giants are very conscious of their image. They fired a coach a few years ago in season with McAdoo. So my guess would be, like, if they win one more game the rest of the year, Shurmur's gone. From my understanding, Gettleman is a big question mark. I don't even think they know what they were going to do yet with Dave Gettleman.
He's Matt Verderam, NFL director at fansided.com, joins us every Friday at this time. Matt, enjoy the games this weekend. We'll speak to you next week, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.